head, tell me what's really going on.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Hey, I want to let you guys know again that if you guys want to get an autograph and a photo op with Panthers champion, captain, star, Alexander Barkov, you guys can text Panthers to 20357 because Stanley Cup champions Alexander Barkov and Dmitry Kulikov will be doing that autograph and photo session with you at Hollywood Collectibles. For your chance to win, again, text the word Panthers to 20357. That's Panthers to 20357. If you don't win, you could purchase your ticket at HollywoodCollectibles.com. Hollywood Collectibles is located on Sterling Road in Dania Beach. Sounds fun. Who doesn't want to meet the champs? Big time summer, everybody. Big time winning summer coming your way. I'm endeavoring to find where Tough Juice is. We're looking for Caron Butler. So we will try and make that all happen as it's going on. Miami Dolphins are getting set for action coming up tomorrow against the Buffalo Bills. Statement game.
Cool that they don't have to travel. I'm trying to think. You know what? Never played a home Thursday game.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
I can't confirm that, but I'm almost positive. I always remember traveling on Wednesday. That's the biggest pain in the ass.
What?
It's not playing the game on Thursday. It's traveling to play the game on Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you guys got to leave at a weird time?
No, we leave at the same time, but it's just, you know, so when you just think about taking a flight on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock or Friday morning at 9 o'clock.
Ah.
There's traffic. There's, you know, your regular routine gets, you know, adjusted a little bit. You're flying out on a weekday, a lot of travelers. And you're like, you just got done playing football. Right? Like, it's not like playing
a quick turnaround, dude.
Not like playing the game. You still got Band-Aids and wraps on from the last game.
We'll talk to him, man. It was a tough play, man. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop 100 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Has a new book out, Clutch Time, part two of his series. He's assistant coach of the Miami Heat. He was a former first-round pick of the Miami Heat. We always love getting some time with this man. Tough Juice, Caron Butler joining the program. How are you, Coach? How's everything going?
Doing amazing. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Caron, hey, what I think our the equivalent to us playing a Thursday night game, is that very similar to a back-to-back? Because you probably get to the new place or you're getting ready for that back-to-back and you still got ice on from the night before?
Yeah, you know what? It usually takes – quite a bit of time to recover and bounce back. But sometimes, like in rare situations, you know, you get high for like a front end of a game in a back-to-back, and you kind of just carry that momentum, especially if you played extremely well.
Right.
Kind of still running on the fumes of good momentum, so good fumes. But sometimes on the back end of a back-to-back, if it requires a lot of traveling, say if we're playing in on the West Coast and then we're coming back for a home game, that can be extremely tough.
So you got a new book out, Caron. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? This is part two of your series, the one that you had out a couple of years ago?
Yeah, actually. So we started off with Shot Clock, and it originally started with my Butler Elite organization that we renamed in the book called The Oasis Spring. And we just talked about, you know, what a lot of the kids was inspired by through my observation. And I saw real stuff happening in real time from an authentic standpoint. And when I grew up, I didn't have real stories that I can connect to. That was part of, you know, the curriculum in schools. We had The Great Gatsby. We had How to Kill a Mockingbird. We had The Outsiders and things like that. Great books. But I felt like it was dated from now what the kids are experiencing. You're talking about police brutality. You're talking about lack of empathy. You're talking about the exposure to politics. You're talking about what we've seen in 2020 with George Floyd and the subtraction of lives and communities and how they recovered through trauma. And I wanted to create different verticals in the literature space for kids to just connect to, see themselves and identify with, and become a better version of themselves.
How, I mean, just going off of that, obviously it's been a big topic this week because of what happened to Tyreek Hill before the game on Sunday. I'm sure you've seen, you know, the video of it. What was your reaction to kind of everything that went on with it?
Yeah, you know what? Just the observation of it was just uncomfortable to watch and see. You never want to see one of the heroes that so many look up to in his space in handcuffs, being mistreated in any capacity. But also, too, just from another observation, like what is the truth? What is the storyline to it? You know, whatever happened from a visual standpoint, it just didn't look right. And I still don't know, like, the ins and outs of everything that happened. But just visually, that was just like a traumatic experience. And I'm just happy that he was able to pivot immediately and just go into the game and still have a significant impact and, you know, state his case.
From you're currently on a boat show. You're here in Miami earlier in the week with it. Are you around your hometown today? Is that where it's going next?
Yeah, I'm in Racine, Wisconsin now. We're visiting two schools like immediately after this interview. And we're doing a huge premiere tonight at the local library. A lot of people RSVP'd, roughly about 150, 200 people here in my local community. And then we go to the West Coast and hit a couple bookstores as well. So I'm extremely excited about this whole campaign.
So one of the things, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I think of like some of the books that I've read growing up and how the life that you live in and the books that you're reading is like, wait a minute. And I think, you know, one of the things that I was fortunate in that I had family members who had lived it, because I'm a little bit older. So my great grandmother was born around 1900, right? She died when I was 13. And my grandmother, and I'm from New Orleans, so it was real in that area. And they would always say, sit down, you don't need no damn book. And a lot of kids don't have that person in their life. So maybe a book is gonna help them fully understand either how to deal with these current situations or where they came from as far as these current situations and why we're here. So, like, I get it. It kind of relates a little bit, but I did have the people in my life, you know what I mean, to kind of tell me the stories.
And you know, what's even more interesting, like, to piggyback on what you just said, is, like, they will try to self-diagnose you immediately because your lack of interest to something that you lack to engage with.
Right.
Right now, statistically, you're being told that black and brown kids who are the majority in society don't like to read. No, they do like to read.
They don't just like to read that.
Things that relate to them. So now if you go about it a little differently and present the content a little differently, I think that is something that they can relate to. And then it's just, it unlocks a whole different thing.
Right. Now, do you, like, you have your book that kind of helps with that, but do you have other books? Because I remember my grandmother giving me, like, other authors who wrote about those things. And in the summer, instead of reading the books on the list you got from school, I had to read two or three books from my grandmother that would give me, and that kind of got me caught up to where we are today.
Yeah, 100%. The seven highly effective habits of the most highly effective people in the world, like Michael Eric Dyson, introduced me to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of changed my life just from a perspective standpoint, because they always tell you, like, this is something my grandfather told me a long time ago, you know, when you're born, you look like your parents. When you die, you look like your habits. You know, and that stuck with me because it's like, okay, what do I consistently do in my daily routine? And this is why the book spoke to me as well, because you eventually die looking like your habits. And then ultimately, you know, what is your biggest asset from a legacy standpoint in life? What do you want to do with your purpose? And this is my purpose. I'm living my purpose with a massive platform, amazing job, and I just want to empower and unlock minds, especially young people, but also old people as well, because sometimes they say a zebra never changes stripes, but it's a lot of older people that have come to these schools and these environments and saw the magic in us seeing the superpower in all these young people. And they like, you know what? That was powerful. I wish I had that when I was a kid.
People start investing more into the youth too when they see that there's hope.
100%.
Karan, what did you think of Bam and Spo's trip to the Olympics this summer? What did you make of Bam's performance? Seemed like he, I don't know, like it was cool to see him get the platform, I think, of this summer. It felt like he got a lot of star shine on Team USA, maybe even more so than he does in the regular season. Did you feel that at all?
Yeah, I think he embraced it. And once he wasn't reactive, he was, you know, he was just prepared for every moment, every situation. You know, you go in there with these high, lofty expectations, but you don't know, like, whether you're going to play a lot or less or whatever the case. But Bam embodies all the right things. When you talk about just pure to his soul about winning, that's what he is. That's who he is. The respect of LeBron James all the way down to the last guy on the bench. He had that, and he has that, and he has that in our locker room as well. So I was just happy for him because all the things that we've been working on, myself, Malik, Spo, E-Glass, Coach O, Chris Quinn, like pouring into him, and just to see him unlock all that on the massive stage that he was on, it was just special. And for Coach Spo, I hope that he inherits the next term as the head coach because he's deserving. One of the best basketball minds I've ever been around in my entire life, and I've been around some great ones. And I'm just happy to be a student under his tutelage.
Well, so you're saying Bam's a four? That's what I heard.
Bam can do anything. No ceilings.
I know that, but I've been begging for Bam to be a four for so long. So I'm going to keep
more threes, though, Karan. We got to get we got 100 threes this year. 103 attempts at least from Bam this year.
I'll take a 3 or 5 a game, right?
Yeah, man. Let's get it. Like, it looked good. It looks smooth. I want him to have the green light this year.
I know that's what he's thinking. He's a 2-time Olympian now, so he's he's walking a little different.
Yeah. What has been? You were out there for the summer league a little bit with your son on the team. Like they won the championship. That was super cool. But what did you first of all make of that accomplishment? That had to be unbelievably cool to have all those young guys. What a squad! I mean, it seemed like it was a new star every single night.
Yeah, I thought Coach Dan did a great job of just creating a system where it was equal opportunity, smooth flow, but also everyone was highlighted and elevated every night. You mentioned my son, you know, JC, he had an opportunity to come in and just have an impact on winning. Alondis, man, he did a remarkable job. You know, our draft picks, they did a remarkable job at just being prepared for the moment and embracing the culture on the fly because there was a lot of information and insight thrown on them. And they just like made the seamless transition, you know, where Pella, Johnson, they all did a remarkable job. And then even Jaime working out with the select team and then wanting to play pretty much the whole summer league and being able to play. I wish I had that luxury of having Jaime out there for a few games.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he was just dominant in summer league.
He was.
What were the impressions of Kalel? What did you think, just first impressions of him?
His activity, you know, high motor. You know, it reminds me of – you know, just a kid that if you just put him in the right situation with his motor, with his intentions and instincts, there is no ceilings on what he's capable of doing. And Dan just did a remarkable job at just simplifying the game for him and just playing off his strengths and while elevating and making his weaknesses, a blemish.
What is when you guys get into this training camp, like what – is there going to be because obviously I'm sure they worked hard in the system with the summer league and whatnot, and they've been around doing the workouts, but like, do you guys have like a no welcome to heat camp moment for them coming like to really like push them?
Yeah. You know, I think we always have that because everything we do is just, it's intense. It's hard work. It's intentional. And we work extremely hard in our execution of everything. And I think that, you know, all the young guys, it's going to be a little shock factor to them. But the old guys, like the veteran guys, they kind of just help them navigate through that process. So it's not something that we know they can't overcome. And they've been being prepared for it for quite some time. Think about it. After Summer League, they took a week off and they was right back in it. So they're already in shape. They're familiar with everything that we're going to throw at them. And now it's just doing it with, you know, the veteran players being a part of it.
Am I ridiculous in thinking that Bahamas camp this year?
Hey, this is.
I was thinking like first year of the Big Three. You know, I feel like getting back, hunkering down. Will we get the mode there still, Karan, in the Bahamas?
The work 100%.
Don't change. Yeah, man. Look, it's all about the participants. You know, wherever we go, we take the culture with us. Hey, even on road trips, we got to play a lot of games on the road, but the culture's still there. You're going to see Miami Heat basketball wherever they drop us. Like Coach always say, we have the Navy SEAL mentalities. Like, they drop us off, that's what we're doing. We're here on a mission.
You feel better, Tobin, because he's been going at this like after last year. I don't want him in the Bahamas.
Are you coming?
No, they don't send us to the Bahamas, Karan. Like I could barely get sent to Palm Beach County if I wanted to from my boss. I'm like, hey, what do you think? Sending us to the Bahamas? He goes, they'll be back in a week. I'm like, come on, send us out. I would love to do that.
Say it's a 35-minute flight.
Exactly. That's all I'm hoping for. One of my favorite things, we'll get you out. One of my favorite things pregame is you and Nico. I love when you've taught him the walk-off shot. This is such an interesting year for him because it's his third year, but he's still so young. He just turned 21. What do you think is like his next step? What do you think is next for Nico's game to bring to the table this season?
Well, you saw like his availability was a huge factor, and he's worked on his body, and obviously that's no question now. And even, you know, having the ankle injury that he sustained throughout the course of training for the Olympics and finding a way after being told he was going to be out anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks and that wasn't even an option for him to still find a way to be present and available and have some type of impact in their run, that was remarkable. So you know that from a mental standpoint, I saw growth right there. Now, just getting more reps, getting more time out there, I think he's going to have a significant impact on our team this year because of his versatility, because he can make plays, because he can defend multiple positions. As you saw, you know, we were switching a lot with Nico. Sometimes we was in the catch coverage, but we switched a lot with him. So his ability to do those things is a clear advantage for us offensively and defensively. And then he's just a likable guy. His voice and his experience, even though he's 21, he has a lot of basketball knowledge. So his voice in the locker room is going to be extremely important.
We got a lot of versatile bigs this year. A lot.
Yeah, man. That's a luxury.
They're going a lot of length. Ooh.
Youth.
Youth, right?
Yeah.
It's an exciting time. Go get Karan Butler's new book, Clutch Time. It is available now. Have a great tour, Karan. Thanks so much for giving us some time today, and we can't wait to see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Karan. Hey, thank you.
Appreciate y'all, man.
All righty.
There you go. He is he's simply the best. That's we always appreciate his time.
Right there.
Yeah, man.
That's
my
dude. Every time I go to the arena, I make sure I talk to him.
Goosey's dude. We'll take a break.
Like that's like the OG real one. You know what I mean? Like he come from, you know, same type of OUD background.
We'll take a break. Back after this.